Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Coming up in a short while, Thembisa Fikuda, political analyst and senior research fellow at AfroAge, talking to us about what is going on in Afghanistan. Taliban orders Afghan women to veil their faces. If they don't comply, male relatives will be facing punishment. The Taliban ruled this over the last short while. The Islamic regime of the Taliban has ruled that Afghan women will have to cover their faces in public in a decree that was passed over the weekend on Saturday. According to the decree from Taliban supreme leader, the ideal face covering is all the encompassing burqa. If a woman does not comply with the new rule, her father or close male relative will be visited and eventually imprisoned or fired from government jobs. And that is according to the Ministry for the Propagation of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice. I don't know. The propagation of virtue, it actually sounds very, very scary. It is a 6:50. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Thembisa Fikuda, political analyst, senior research fellow at AfroAge. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing today?
Thanks for having me.
This is very, very alarming, although maybe not surprising. Give me your reaction and your thoughts around it.
Well, it is, and it's also renegation of what the Taliban committed to when they negotiated that final settlement they had with the civil society and the Qataris and the US in Doha, that they were going to go and reform certain politics of the past in Afghanistan. And what we've seen now is the renegation of that pact to undertaking that they made. But again, if you look at the current leadership of the Taliban in Afghanistan, most of those that are leading at the moment are members that were not in Doha. So this new leader of the Taliban, Hibatullah Akhundzada, he's not a man who was negotiating that settlement with the US in Doha, which actually led to what we saw in August 2021. So he's a hardliner, and you are likely to see the split of the Taliban in the near future.
Does it mean anything in reality? I mean, obviously it does to the people of Afghanistan, but does it mean anything internationally, given that they are fully in control there, that they are making these laws and they've gone back on their assurances?
Yes, it does. Geopolitically, if you look where Afghanistan is situated, Afghanistan is basically the last or in the middle of Central Asia, which is very key for business, but also very key in terms of destroying the incubator of radicalism in the world. It's one of the last bastion of radicals in the world. So you have to reform Afghanistan. But besides, you know, there are human beings there who deserve freedom, like you and I.
Of course.
So it does mean a lot. If it continues the way it continues, you are likely to have this refuge of all the wannabe terrorists in the world to go to. And I don't think we're all interested in seeing that proliferating. So Afghanistan is that last bastion, a lawless country that harbors and enjoy inviting extremists from all over the world to come and further become worse extremists who then get exported to different parts of the world to create mayhem.
And in the meantime, the people that are suffering most are the civilian population of Afghanistan, particularly the women. They've now, we know, been excluded from education. We now know that even work has become difficult for them, and now there's this rule that they need to be completely covered up when they leave their homes.
That's true, and the Americans will never, notwithstanding that they've had that abrupt withdrawal of Afghanistan, but it's one of those projects that they will like eventually to be proud and say that they went in and there was some semblance of reform and democratic reform. So even though they've abandoned posts, but I think they're still very interested because this is basically going to haunt them for the rest of their lives
if
the situation remains.
Mm. And if you think about it, what a fantastic or horrible waste of time the whole process was, because it almost is back to where it started, but many lives lost along the way.
Yes, we're back to square one. You have these radicals who are back once again ruling Afghanistan, and the fear, of course, is that they might just trigger once again this radical exploitation of terrorists around the world to continue creating mayhem, particularly in countries like Pakistan and India and others closer to Afghanistan. So you don't want to see that happening, even though the Taliban has always been a nationalist organization compared to Al-Qaeda and Daesh, which is ISIL. But they also have these ambitions of international exploitation of radical Islam. So they have to be stopped one way or the other. But the liberation of girls and women in Afghanistan is very symbolic for the rest of the world. If you remember the first conference which initiated the discussions between U.S., and the Taliban in terms of bringing them into mainstream politics, one of the things that they wanted to do, particularly the Europeans, was to promote the freedom of expression and the rights of women in Afghanistan. So that ambition still remains, particularly for most Europeans. We saw the delegation of the Afghans going to Sweden, but again, they were rejected because of their position they've taken since, resuscitating that old archaic way of governance, particularly when it comes to women.
Is there pushback? Is there a more moderate element in Afghanistan that is prepared or that might be prepared to fight to take back a little bit more of more control in the country?
Well, there is a moderate part. The civilian part of Afghanistan is actually quite very progressive, but it's all concentrated in Kabul. So if you step outside Kabul, you're back into a conservative part of Afghanistan. But you do have a lot of civil society organizations that are pushing for liberalization of Afghanistan, etc. But they don't have the power because it's a no man's land, Afghanistan. And the Taliban at the moment, they're in total control. And they use force, of course, to push people into submission. But one would have expected that grouping that spent time in Doha from 2013 to 2021 would have at least adjusted to mainstream international politics. But alas, we see them once again now dominated by these conservatives who actually never went out of Afghanistan. Most of them remained in Afghanistan fighting. Those that did go out went to Pakistan, and even in Pakistan, they actually didn't integrate into mainstream politics. So you are back to square one, and we're all hoping that because these people were catered for by the Qataris and they were introduced to the world, they will go back to Afghanistan and introduce new forms of politics. But surprisingly not, and I think we're back to square one. Is a very disappointing situation, unfortunately.
And are we likely to see a flood of people refugees trying to get out of Afghanistan, or has anybody who's left really already done so?
I think most that were able to leave have already done so. And if you look at the neighbors of Afghanistan, I mean, there's nowhere to go to. Ordinarily, people walk, right? But if you look at the most proximate neighbor of Afghanistan is Pakistan, and Pakistan's situation is also very dire. And they've since tightened the access to their borders because of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, who have been coming to Pakistan, committing all kinds of problems in that country. So the people of Afghanistan have got nowhere else to go, and those who want to go have to fly out of Afghanistan. And at the moment, flying out is not that easy because the Qataris and Americans are managing the exit of people, at least those that are flying out. And before they can reach any other country, they must go through Qatar because it's one of the only commercial airline, Qatar Airways, that flies. And the Qataris are actually at the moment processing all the migration paperwork for those who want to go out. So the Afghan people are stuck in Afghanistan. Because of the actions of the Taliban, most countries, particularly the U.S., have decided to freeze their assets and the money that belongs to the Afghan people because of the government of Afghanistan. Joe Biden did release a little bit, I think it was $7 billion that was released, but half of that went to the victims of September 11 and the rest went to the civil society, not necessarily to the coffers of the government, because the US government was a bit skeptical of giving the money to the Taliban. So that money still has not trickled down to the ground. So it's very dire situation for the Afghan people at the moment.
Indeed, it really is. Tembisa Fikuda, political analyst and a senior research fellow at AFRAID, talking to us about the ruling over the weekend that women in Afghan women are now required to only leave their homes if they are fully veiled. Horrible, horrible story indeed.